Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Kryptonian.
The Kryptonian.
The man from using that line.
Yes.
The man from another world.
Yeah.
The staycation man for this week.
Yep. Yes. Tail end of my vacation.
Yeah. Poor thing.
Deja vu all of a sudden.
No. Don't do that.
No. But,
it's still better than being at work. That's all that matters. You know?
Yeah.
Even if staying home. And then I'm not doing myself any favors by watching YouTube videos of like Galaxy's Edge and thinking like, man, I want to go there one day. Like, if you're watching any of that shit, it's so badass. It's like,
yeah, it looks really cool.
Like I'm not talking just the walking around stuff. Like, the videos people have taken inside the rides and stuff, it's absolutely incredible.
Oh.
I'm like, wow. I'm like, I would probably be grinning from ear to ear the entire time I'm there. I'd probably be a bigger kid than some of the kids. but one day,
speaking of
hopefully.
Theme parks, did you see some of the spy video of the Super Mario theme park in the Universal Studios?
No.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it looks pretty cool because, like the buildings have all these, like, actual representation of the Mario stages.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and you see, like, Koopa shells going across the roofs or, you know, and then it's just highly animated.
Is that being built here or is that overseas?
No, it's being built over at Universal Studios in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I could link that video to your cell phones if I find it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But yeah, so staycation for you. For me, it's a re-grand opening of my store, which is on my last fucking nerves already, but I don't want to talk about that.
For real.
and
not for play.
Matt's still getting back into the swing of things from his little vacation. So, but other than that, man, doing okay. I was just thinking, you know, how tough this year has been for everybody, and here we are, though, already more than halfway through. We were talking about the movies we're doing the next couple of months, you know, starting to get ready for Halloween Horrors and our movies that lead into our annual Batman movie we always do at Christmas time. So it's kind of crazy to think that we're as tough as the first 6 months of this year has been. Here we are planning out the second half of the year. We'll get through it. We'll get through it together. And hopefully keep entertaining people by podcasting and bringing some joy to their little ears.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think 2020 is going to be years where we're going to forget about easily.
I think so too. We'll get past it and look at it as just a rough year and better things ahead, you know? And,
yes.
And hopefully so. And, I did do for before I get too far into the show, in case people, you know, don't always listen to the end. I did rework the Rebel Radio store. The link is on our website, therebelradiopodcast.com. I moved our store over to Etsy instead of using the other company I did. Just a little better service with Etsy. Obviously, they're very established. And I put up a new shirt there that's inspired by Flash Gordon. It's a Rebel Radio Podcast shirt in the influence of Flash Gordon. To celebrate the 40th anniversary of that movie and a movie we covered last year. So something new in the store and more to come, hopefully. So if you want to go to therebelradiopodcast.com and check that out and buy a t-shirt and support the show, we'd appreciate it. You know, and look pretty
that
cool.
They'll make the shirt for you and sell it for you?
Yeah, it's well, Etsy does it. Etsy's a store, but the shirts are made through a company called Printify. And they're print on demand. Yeah. So if somebody orders one, they print it and they send it to them. So,
yeah. Oh, okay.
And you just interlink with the store and set it all up. So, mm-hmm. Pretty cool. So,
technology.
So good stuff there. And, all the, some of the classic shirts are still up there too on the store, and that's just the one new shirt that's up there so far. So good stuff. But yeah, so that's about all that's going on with me. And it is hot as hell. We're in the middle of summer here in Texas. And
yes,
you know, I saw a report the other day that said to sleep comfortably, you should run your AC at 82 at night. What? Fuck that shit. I run mine about, during the day, it's about 72 to 74, but at night, 68, 69 degrees. I'm sleeping with a cold. Too damn hot. Yeah, hell yeah.
Damn.
I
keep mine at 76.
But you have a one-story house. This house gets cold. It gets hot upstairs. I have to run it cooler. I can't sleep comfortably.
Yeah. Which it's like, if I wanted to, I could run it as cold as I want because I'm on a what is that? A set plan, like a set rate. So I only pay $60. It was a promotion that Zero Energy is just getting screwed on because I use like 1600 kilowatts last month.
I'd be running that shit at 68 degrees every night.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. I just don't know if I'm always afraid that I was like, oh, what if I accidentally void my warranty void my contract by going too many kilowatt? I don't want to lose that deal. That's such a good price that I got. I mean, my dad used like I think 200 more kilowatts than I did, and he paid like $300 this month, but he's got Reliant, and Reliant is charging him a lot.
Yeah, gotta have cold AC in Texas, but you know.
Yeah.
Gots to.
It's
definitely sweaty ball season, as they say. But
yes.
But yeah.
Or so,
jock itch. Jock itch, yes. Jock itch is real, people. Don't deny it. on that note, let's get into the show officially. With Download This, where you tell people what we watched and streamed or played this week and checked out. And whoever wants to go first, man.
I'll go first this time. I haven't gone first in a while. We had done Glory, and I wanted to watch The Last Samurai with my wife, but she was always like, I don't know, a samurai movie. I'm like, no, it's good. It's good. I was like, a white man that hates white men, so he joins samurai to kill other white men, and so he's very damaged by what happens of course with the Indian-American war and just his general making him kill innocent women and children while the Braves were out. It's based on a true story, but it was actually a French soldier that was sent to go train the Japanese on firearms and to take care of their the Satsuma raid, which happened in 1877, I want to say. But it's a cool story. If you haven't seen it, it's still a good movie. I think it's a story of redemption for Tom Cruise's character and understanding. And Ken Watanabe's just awesome in it. Great performance.
And folks,
definitely,
folks, we are not covering The Last Samurai today, folks. Matt's just going to tell you the whole movie.
Yeah, I just didn't do a whole lot of Download This, so that's why I said a whole lot of piece about Last Samurai. But then, I beat Resident Evil 2. The only other thing is I beat Resident Evil 2. Because I had started it and then I stopped it because I was playing Resident Evil 3, and now I'm doing the second run with Claire, so I'm gonna do the second part of the storyline, and that's about it.
Cool. Well, I have a whole list of things I went through. Download This. So strap in, y'all.
Yes. There we go.
As far as video games.
I watched 3 movies this week, so I did pretty good.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Here's a cookie. No.
Here's a cookie.
Let's see. On video game side, I tried out XCOM Chimera Squad on PC. That's pretty cool. If you guys ever played XCOM, it's a pretty fun game.
Okay.
Tactical.
Man, I played that years ago, like PlayStation 2, maybe. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally beat Persona 5 Royal. Oh man. That I clocked in 122 hours on that game, total play time.
Wow.
And they expect me to play the new game plus, you know, like no way. I gotta take a break. Yeah. But those are the highlights. It took me an entire day to finally finish the last 4 hours of that. And I had to restart a boss battle 5 or 6 times, you know, before I spartaned up to it. It was rough. But I felt proud. I finally beat that game. On to movies. The first movie on my list I saw was Ford versus Ferrari. It's a pretty good movie. Did you see it too, Mark?
Yep. I did watch it also. Yeah. And I really liked it. I'll say a little more in a minute about it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ford vs. Ferrari was enjoyable. I was kind of joking that, well, I mean, it's a big old corporation beating up on a little Italian company.
Yeah.
I can't really feel sympathy for that, but no, it's more about Carroll Shelby dealing with the corporate culture with Ford more than, you know, that racing team versus the Ferrari, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was a very interesting movie. Very good watch. Very beautiful, beautifully filmed movie, too. You really get a good sense of speed in that.
James Mangold always has well-shot films, too.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I binged watch an anime last night called Demon Hunter Kimetsu, and man, it's like one of the most beautiful anime I've ever watched, and one of the best action anime also. It's about two siblings who lost their family from a demon attack. Mm-hmm. One of them turned into a demon but is able to hold on to her demonic urges, while the other one becomes a demon slayer. And I don't know how they do it, but this anime blends 3D animation with 2D animation so seamlessly. You can't tell which one is, you can't really tell which is CG and which is 2D hand-drawn. That's how good it is. And I watched all 26 episodes in one day because I can't.
Nice.
Yeah. But I highly recommend it. If you like a good 26 episode, you know, short anime to watch, not like, you know, Naruto or big old time sinks.
Oh yeah,
like, yeah. I recommend that. It goes by pretty quick.
Is it streaming?
It's on. Yeah, it might be on HBO Max. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it is definitely on Crunchyroll.
Okay.
For sure. Maybe on Hulu. Do you have Hulu?
Yeah, I'll have to look.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, and then for some reason I decided to watch Jaws 3 because I was curious. I haven't seen that movie in over 10 years.
You were glutton for punishment?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
That's the one with Dennis Quaid, that's right?
Underwater thing, right?
Yeah.
It's, and Dennis Quaid's in it, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Lewis Costa Jr. Who would have thought, you know? Yeah. And I watched that Tom Hanks movie, Greyhound. I liked it so much. I saw it twice, once on Friday, and then another time on Wednesday. So,
nice.
If you haven't had a Apple TV account yet, just do a 5-day trial or a 7-day trial and just check it out. It's worth the trial period. If you all haven't done it yet. It's really cool. It's Tom Hanks being a destroyer captain, and it's on its first ever Atlantic run across the Atlantic Ocean, and he has to protect 36 merchant ships with three other escorts versus a wolf pack of submarines. And it's very well directed. Another beautifully shot movie. And but yeah, if you guys ever get a chance, check it out.
Well, before COVID hit, when I first saw the trailer, I thought it looked really good, you know, and I was like, wow, that's really good.
And the thing that irritates me is that some of the comments about that movie, people are saying, oh, so much CGI, and that we don't understand the naval jargon. Well, it's like, well, get good, you know?
Yeah.
That foreign, you know? And
right.
And what else are they going to do? I mean, there's no other way to portray this movie, you know?
Right.
Except in CGI, so fuck that. It's yeah. It's a well-made movie. I think it's one of the best World War II movies out there as far as action is concerned. So, I like it. It has my stamp of approval. So, yeah, that's my download.
Cool. I watched a Tom Hanks movie also. I don't know why I decided to watch A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's weird. It's not really the story of Mr. Rogers. Like, I was thinking it was going to be like the story of Mr. Rogers, and he's actually kind of a secondary character in the movie. It's more about this reporter that does a story on him. So it's inspired by true events, and it's kind of weird in a way. I don't know. It just wasn't what I expected it to be. Tom Hanks is really good in it, of course. It's not a bad movie. It's just not what I expected it to be, I guess. So it's okay. And then I too watched Ford vs. Ferrari, which I agree with everything you said. It's well shot, really good performances, a really good story. I actually also, it was genuinely funny, like in parts where it meant to have humor. Like the part where they're fighting in the yard and his wife sits down and is like, when are you going to be done, boys? I was like, generally really funny moments in it, you know? And it's a bit of a spoiler territory, but I'll try to keep it spoiler free because I know Matt really wants to watch it because he's into cars, but I could have done without the epilogue in the film.
I watched up to yet. Where John Bernthal introduced himself as Lee Iacocca.
Oh, you still have a long way to go.
I've got a long way to go.
You know, it's funny because I just didn't like, I felt the epilogue, man, it's hard to say this without spoiling anything. Well, Matt knows the story. Matt, you know that Ken Miles dies in real life, so...
Yeah,
we didn't need to see Ken Miles' death in the movie. I felt that the whole point in the movie,
I totally agree.
Yeah,
I felt that when they were walking away on the track at the end of the movie, end it right there. We didn't need to, because there's a scene where his son talks to his mechanic friend. His mechanic friend reassures him about the dangers of racing, and he makes Patrick feel better. So you kind of do away with that scene by having Patrick see his dad die. And I wish they would have, I just felt the epilogue wasn't needed. They could have simply told you that Ken dies in a race 6 months or in a practice 6 months later on screen with some words. You know, they didn't need to show that. That was probably my only beef with the movie. I just felt like it should have ended on the happier note than ended the way it did. But other than that, it's really well shot. Like you said, it was a really good movie. I actually was really surprised by it because I had kind of low expectations for it, and I was like, wow, this is really, really well done. So you need to watch it, Matt. You'll really enjoy it. Then I watched go ahead.
You go on. Oh, well, that story is used by all Ford enthusiasts whenever people are bringing up, Dodge is better, Chevy's better. It's like, well, it's like, let me tell you about the Ford GT and how we were the first American car to beat Ferrari, Lamborghini, and McLaren. And went first, second, and third place, and that and saying that, hey, what happened to the Camaros after 2000 and before 2006? It's like, so that's it's a common Ford, notch in the belt.
Yeah. Well, and then but it's a good movie, and they do kind of brush over. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Lee Iacocca create the Mustang, essentially?
Yes, sir. He designed
it. It is in the movie, but they kind of brush over that he's the creator of it. But it's not important to the story, because the story is ultimately about Carroll Shelby and Ken Miles. So, but, it's cool, though. I also watched The Old Guard on Netflix, the new Charlize Theron film that's based on, I guess it's based on a graphic novel, right? Really interesting concept. The movie itself is good, but not great. There's some really good action sequences in it, but it's also a very cliched action movie. And it's a lot of setup for another film. It's like you get to the end of the movie, and there's things that aren't resolved, and you're like, okay, they just did this to set up a whole another series. But it's worth the watch. But if I had to pick out of Netflix's recent action flicks like this or Extraction, I would probably tell people to watch Extraction first. I think it's a better movie. But kind of cool concepts of like immortal soldiers, and they can't die, and they don't know why they exist. So it's like, it's kind of like Highlander on crack in a way. But Charlize is great as always. I found there's an actress in the film that plays a major part, and I didn't feel she was very good. So she was a little distracting from the film. But you know, it's a minor quip, I guess, you know, it's just me maybe being picky. But it's on Netflix. It's worth a watch. I think both of you guys would like it. You know, y'all like comic book stuff and action movies. I think y'all enjoy The Old Guard too. Just don't have high expectations for it. It's enjoyable, but not great. You know, and I'm sure they'll probably make another one. I think I read Charlize signed on for like at least two films. They'll at least make one more, I'm sure. And but she's good in the movie. So yeah, I could watch Charlize just sit there and eat strawberries. I'd be okay with it. So, but yeah. That's about it, man. I didn't really play much Last of Us this week. I kind of took a break from it. Sometimes I do that with games. I got to step back a little bit, then get back into them. A lot of killing and death in that game, so sometimes you just need a little bit of a break. But this weekend, hopefully, I'll get back into it. So, yeah. Cool. You still awake long?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just killing. Testing you, man. He does not fucking move, man. He just sits so still. He's like, I'm telling you, like, relaxed. I said a couple weeks ago, he's like fucking Drax in the podcast, man. Yeah. Doesn't move.
Move. If I don't move so slightly, an hour,
I will disappear.
You will. I will completely disappear. You will not know I'm here. So, right. Let's get into this movie, man. That we decided to do, not for any particular reason. Just we're like, why not? Because we're thinking of our Patreon this month is going to be Superman 4. So we're like, well, let's do Superman 3. On the regular podcast, which arguably could be a Patreon movie itself, but I don't know. This movie's kind of in between for me, which we'll get into. But Long, man, you want to summarize Superman 3?
Yeah. boy, thank you. This is not a pretty easy movie to summarize. But Foreman, played by Richard Pryor, is a computer genius who ends up stealing from his boss. His boss hires Gorman to hack into computer systems worldwide and control the world markets in oil. Superman turns evil for a bit, or mischievous, I'd say, not really evil.
Because of genetically created kryptonite.
Genetically created kryptonite. In a lab. And anyways, so Superman becomes evil. He fights against his good self, and good Superman returns. And then Gorman builds a supercomputer. Not Gorman, but he designs a supercomputer that could do anything, apparently. Come up with missiles out of nowhere.
Yeah, with a Sharpie.
And let's not forget, the whole thing is built in like 2 days.
Yeah.
Right. 2 days. Right. So Superman comes and attacks the supercomputer. The three main villains try to resist. Old lady becomes a cyborg.
Yes.
Gorman tries to rescue Superman while he is... Well, no. Was Gorman? Anyways.
No, he tries to just escape on his own, yeah.
Yeah, he escapes on his own. And Superman wins the day.
Saves the day.
By using some green acid to destroy this supercomputer. And, but that's the end of the movie, really.
Yeah.
He drops Gorman off at some coal mine and... flies off and hey, about that Lana Lang, huh?
And well, that cool. I was going to say in between all this, he just completely forgets about Lois and is flirting with Lana Lang the whole movie.
yeah, which doesn't go anywhere, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, right. The whole movie is kind of put together by accident. From Richard Pryor's casting to getting Christopher Reeve and Richard Lester to come back. Richard Lester and Christopher Reeve both said no. So did Gene Hackman. He said no to being Lex Luthor because they felt they told all the story they could with Superman 1 and 2. But as usual, money talks. They paid Christopher Reeve and Richard Lester quite a bit of money to make Superman 3, and they promised Christopher Reeve he would have say in the script. Richard Pryor made a joke of the... Pryor made a joke of the Tonight Show. They wanted to be in a Superman movie, and the producers took him serious, and they threw $5 million at him, so he's like, well, why the fuck not? It's $5 million. But they could not get Gene Hackman, so...
He didn't want to do it as comic relief.
Right.
Yeah, he wanted to have a serious role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he thought the script sucked.
Yeah, he even said it. He even admitted it's script.
$5 million.
Yeah. So they had to come up with another villain because Gene Hackman didn't want to do it, so they got Robert Vaughn to play the character he plays, which is basically a Lex Luthor ripoff. The producers basically throw Margot Kidder to the wall, said that she's not important, but yet she was under contract, so they had to put her in the movie in some fashion. So she's in the movie for like 12 minutes, has like three lines, and she's, you know, this is about the time where she started her cocaine binges anyways. And just wait till we get to part four. You can tell in part four she's coked up the entire fucking movie. And, so Clark just sort of forgets completely about Lois Lane and moves on to Lana Lang. And when I was texting you guys, my God, Lana, she wants to smash the entire movie. She's letting Clark know, I want to smash. And Clark just ignores her, you know. But she's throwing herself at him.
Yeah.
It's like, could she make it more obvious? Like, come on, Clark, I'm offering this to you. Y'all can talk now.
Yeah, and it's like, I think he's like trying to impress her with Superman and stuff, but it's like she doesn't think of Superman like that, not like Lois thinks of Superman. She wants the nerd. She doesn't want the jock. She wants the nerd, you know? And for good reasons. Anyone that's seen Revenge of the Nerds knows that nerds are just better in bed.
Right. True.
But,
and then, overall, I thought the movie dragged the first half. And then when Superman turned evil or, you know,
dude,
whatever.
That is a fantastic scene. That's a great scene.
Yeah.
He's drunk. Superman's drunk.
And he's drunk. And let me tell you, Christopher Reeve is really good in this movie. Even for a guy who didn't want to do it, at least he didn't mail it in. He gives it his all, you know, and that junkyard scene is awesome. I remember watching that as a kid thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. It wasn't until I was an older adult that realized this movie wasn't very good. You know, as a kid, man, that was awesome. You know?
Hell yeah, man. That and the robot is what I remember from Superman 3 as a kid. That's what always
sticks in my head. That robot scared me as a kid.
Yes. Right. Me too.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater. I was traumatized. I know I was 3 or 4 years old when I saw that in the theater. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my God.
That scene plays out like a horror movie, you know, like sci-fi horror.
Yeah.
It is a bit creepy. And the strange thing about this movie is you watch it now and you're like, you can sit there and realize how it's not very good. But this movie was not a failure. It actually made money at the box office and internationally because at that point, Superman was still very popular. And it even came out 2 weeks after Return of the Jedi, but it still did pretty good at the box office, even though Return of the Jedi was still doing very well. So this wasn't a failure by any means. Richard Pryor was very popular back then. You know, his movies did well at the box office, and Richard Pryor is actually legitimately pretty good in this movie. You know, he does play some comic relief, but I thought he did a good job. Where Robert Vaughn felt like he was hamming it up in this movie a little bit. You know, and he had this ridiculous these women around him that I'm not sure even what they were used for other than semi driving the plot. And the blonde gets up on the Statue of Liberty somehow and tries to hit on Superman, and I'm not even sure, like, how did she even get up there? That was weird.
Yeah, she's another comedian.
How she was drunk.
Pamela Jackson, I believe. She's on Saturday Night Live. She was in History of the World Part 1, which used to come on Comedy Central for a while. It was like a rerun on movie on Comedy Central. But yeah, she's the other comedian in the film.
Yeah. And there's some cool, I do like some of the Superman stuff in this where he freezes the lake to put out the fire, even though it's impossible. But it's kinda like it's kinda cool. And that's a weird scene.
He freezes the top layer because he flies off and the lake's still there.
I know the lake's still there. So it's like, what?
Yeah.
And then how did it put out this entirely huge fire? You know?
Yeah.
And
the bowling scene is cool for me where, you know, he's like, oh, I just think he needs to try again.
Yeah.
He's like, achoo! And then the bowling ball just destroys the bowling pins and goes out the back of the bowling alley, probably kills a stray cat on the other right? side or something.
And then the high school bully that keeps making jokes is like, in the movie, he serves no purpose in the movie other than, like, he's this old guy who never made it big. And, you know, it's like, and he keeps showing up and saying things to Clark and to Lana and, like, why are you in this movie, you know? Other than
Didn't he play a security guard in Smallville?
He may have. A lot of characters that were in some of the Superman movies appeared in Smallville. You know, of course, Ned O'Toole ended up playing Martha Kent in Smallville. So, you know, he may have at some point.
He almost looks like that one actor who played Walter Peck in Ghostbusters.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I always think those two.
Yeah, the guy who was in Die Hard. Yeah. 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 They do have a similar look. Walter Peck went on to be in the Die Hard films. But you know, the funny thing is that the original script for this movie had Brainiac and Mr. McPlicit in it. So they had, you know, they wanted to go with classic comic book villains. But the studio at the time felt for budget restraints, they ended up really scaling it down. Cause they didn't feel they could do Brainiac proper on screen. But it makes you wonder what could have been if they had done a proper sequel to the Zod stuff and had Brainiac or a really powerful villain in it. And Christopher Reeve really pushed for that, apparently. Like, he was really adamant about putting Brainiac in this film and doing something real sci-fi-ish, but ultimately he did not win that battle, as we know. And we're still here waiting 30 years later, 40 years later, for Brainiac to appear on screen in a Superman film, something we still have not gotten.
And then there was some other villain that they had thought about using. I forget the name of the villain, but it's like a villain that looked like a leprechaun.
That's the Mr. McPlicit.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah.
That's actually like from one of the funniest episodes from Superman Adventures cartoon. Mm-hmm.
That maybe would have worked out. Maybe if they would have had Pryor play that character.
Right, or at least
if you would have made him the main villain, I think I feel like he's just underused. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, if you're bringing in Richard Pryor, you should feature him, you know, as the direct opposite of Superman, and instead you have Lester hamming it up. I feel like maybe he takes away from Pryor, and you know, that's why I feel Pryor was maybe misused or not used enough. And not used to his full potential, but I mean, I enjoyed the film still. It's something that stuck with me as a kid, and you still remember some of those scenes.
Yeah.
And watching it now, I still kind of enjoy it. You know, like you said, it has its good moments. It has its bad moments.
It's kind of like watching Batman. It's kind of like watching Batman Forever. There's moments you enjoy, but there's moments you realize aren't very good. And that's the thing, like with this, it's half of it's pretty good and half of it's not so good. And I don't know if I split it in half as much as Long did, say the first half is dragging. I feel like there's like 5 or 6 minute scenes of the film that are really good. Then you'll get 5 or 6 minute scenes that are really cringeworthy. Then you'll go back to a good scene. That's how I felt watching this. You know, and there's things in it that don't make sense. Like, what's the big deal with the bingo machine in the Daily Planet? Like, that just sort of show up in this film. And it's like, why is this there? Just like Superman 1 and 2, there apparently is a longer version of this film by about 20 minutes that explains some of that. Like, apparently there's a scene that explains why Perry White's obsessed with the bingo machine. There's some other explanations in the film, too, but it's only aired on television one time. And I don't even know if it was in America when they aired the extended version. Apparently it was a UK thing. But it's one of those things that maybe one day that gets released in some way. I don't think there's much of a market, though, for a director's cut of Superman 3.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, probably. Yeah,
I'm giving it a C.
A C?
You know, yeah, not good, not bad, in between.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
I was going to say C plus.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre, too, because, like, it starts out kind of weird. The opening credits, you know, they change them from the first two movies. You know, so, and they're like just this bizarre opening credits with all this weird slapstick stuff going on in the background where the guy with the paint machine and falling into the sewer and all that. So it's really just, you're not sure what's going on at the beginning of the movie. And then Clark shows up and he jumps out of the phone booth and hands the kid, takes the pictures of the kid and shows him changing. And so from immediately the beginning of the movie, you know, it's kind of a different tone. I couldn't find any information on whether they went for that tone on purpose, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like the movie just sort of took on a somewhat comedic tone through production. I don't think they set out to make it that way. It just sort of came out that way from what I read. And apparently in that TV cut of the UK version, the opening credits are like the first two Superman movies with the swooping credits and all that, which makes more sense, you know, because that's Superman. And
yeah.
You know, and that was a bizarre part. Of course, John Williams did not come back to do the music for this one, but his themes are used in the movie, which is kind of strange. I guess, you know, he felt he did enough, too. I think the biggest thing that bothers me about the movie is just you just sort of drop Lois Lane like Yesterday's Underwear, because the producers felt that their story was done once he kissed her, made her forget everything, that it didn't matter anymore. I'm like, okay, that makes sense, but, you know.
Yeah, that was a terrible decision in part two.
Yeah. You know,
but before the kiss, that whole monologue between the exchange before that kiss was A plus, right. You know?
Right. So. Yeah, you know, the Socklands as producers, they were very powerful Hollywood people. Things were just different in Hollywood back then. As much as Christopher Reeve wanted power in the script and everything, he could only change so much. Producers had a lot much power. They were going to do what they wanted to do. Whereas nowadays you get directors and actors and stuff that are more involved and the studios listen to them. So we get the quality combat movies we get now that the fans want to see. And you know, and it was just, like I said, just different times, you know, the way that the movies were controlled. But, I'll give Superman 3 a little bit higher rating along. I'll give it a C plus just cause I like the fight scene where he fights himself. I think that is enough in the movie for me to give it a little bit higher rating. But it is, like you said, it's enjoyable. It's not great, but it's not terrible either. It's a guilty
pleasure. I give him a C-plus just for drinking Johnny Walker. Man's a guilty got some taste, man.
And yeah, hey,
give him some credit.
If Clark would have paid attention to Lana and smashed that shit, I would have given this movie a B. You know, but Clark just ignored her, man. Like, damn, Clark, she's throwing herself at you, dog. You know, hit that shit. But he just like, nope.
We need a Brody commentary on what it would have been like, you know, with Superman and Annette O'Toole. We need Brody from Mallrats to you know,
to I mean,
give the play by play on how that would go.
I mean, she's right there. and I didn't I've seen Superman 3 several times. I didn't realize it till watching this week. I'm just like, damn, Lana wants that shit, but Clark's just like, nah,
she's good. Asking for it.
You know, and I tell you what, I did notice, man, I guess I didn't notice as much in the first two movies, because I think in the first two movies, they didn't make Christopher Reeve, because he was a tall man, and you know, I think Gene Hackman had stuff in his contract where Christopher Reeve was not supposed to look bigger than him. But in this movie, you could tell that Christopher Reeve towers over everybody. And that's just a small little thing I noticed in this movie compared to the first two. It's like, wow, he's a really tall guy. And I think he was pretty like 6'4", 6'5". He was a pretty tall guy. And but I still like him a lot as Superman. I like Henry Cavill. Don't get me wrong. I think he does a good job. But I grew up with Christopher Reeve. And just watching these old movies makes me miss him as Superman. You know, he'll always be the Superman I grew up with.
Yeah.
Same.
And yeah. I do have a liking for Cavill. I like him as Superman as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Give him a good Superman script. You know?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I think we can all agree, though, that Dean Cain is, like, last in our list.
Yeah. He sucks.
Yeah.
But
I like the Terry Hatcher, you know, Lois Lane, but yeah, not so much on him.
But, I saw her at Comic-Con in 2008.
Yeah,
when I was there in San Diego. Yeah, yeah. And boy, she's age. Time spicy. Has not been well.
Yeah. To her.
Unfortunately, but that's yeah, that's all right. But I, you know, in this very depressing time, sometimes I feel like we need a really good, hopeful Superman movie, mm-hmm. you know, that inspires us to be better than ourselves.
Yes.
I think that's why.
Shazam, I don't know if that boxes or not, but.
Yeah. And I think that's why I've been on a Superman kick lately.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Long?
Yeah, we missed the optimism. Y'all seen Shazam, right? I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But the Shazam, any of those boxes?
Yeah, it's a feel-good movie for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a feel-good, kind of hopeful movie. It's worth a watch.
I'll try to check it out before it
ends. Yeah, it's on HBO Max. But yeah, I think that's why I've been on Superman kick lately, because I watched Superman Unbound, you know, one of the DC animated films one day, and yeah, I watched Superman 1, 2, and 3, and I've watched Man of Steel, you know, I mentioned last week, and I watched part of Superman Returns the other day, but I didn't finish it. But maybe that's what it is, just looking for a little hope in the world right now. And before we get into the weekly top five, our Superman coverage will continue on this month's Patreon as we cover Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. That's going to be a doozy to talk about. It's very bad. But you can join I've watched part of it. For just $2 a month, you can join our Patreon through OreoPodcast.com and get access to all episodes. But I think I was going to do this back in May, and I didn't do it. I think I'm going to give the April episode away to everybody so they can see what we do on Patreon. And because the show is different than this show, we have some different sub features and things like that. And we want people to hear our follow up to Superman 3. So I think for the month of July, the Superman 4 episode is going to be available on our Patreon link, but it's going to be free this month for everybody to hear so they can hear what we say about Superman 4. And so before we get into news, let's do our weekly top five as we always do. And playing off doing Superman 3, we are going to do our favorite part three movies out of a saga or a trilogy or whatever it may be. So I guess I'll start this week. And I have three honorable mentions I'm going to mention that did not make my list, believe it or not. My honorable mentions are Die Hard 3, Toy Story 3, and Rocky 3. I actually left those off. So that tells you that I think my list is pretty fucking good because I left two. Rocky 3 is kind of a personal favorite, but Die Hard 3 and Toy Story 3 are really good fucking movies. And I left those off. So that tells you my list is pretty good. So I'm looking at you, Matt, with your fucking Army of Darkness shit. But at number five, I have War for the Planet of the Apes. That's probably the most modern film I have on here because it was such a good conclusion to that trilogy. And, you know, I have that at number three. And I hope that Disney continues that series as they're planning. Well, they are planning to continue that series from what I know. But I really liked that movie quite a bit. I thought it was a good way to end the modern Planet of the Apes trilogy. And that's my number five.
Very. I've always appreciated how intense and intimate that scene is. And it does have a little bit of humor. And Mark, do you remember our conversations back then where I was kind of a hater on the Planet of the Apes?
Right.
But the new trilogy turned me around on it. So I still have the first Planet of the Apes movie, which I do plan on watching it.
Give
it a more fair eye on it. My number five is Return of the Jedi. So everyone knows about Return of the Jedi, and I love that movie because of the whole space battle scene and duel.
I'm cringing because it's at number five, but okay.
It's five. You'll forgive me when I go down the list. So, yeah, it's not in any order. really, except for my last two spots. So anything goes. But yeah, my number five is Return of the Jedi. How about you, Matt?
Mine is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban for my number five. Really, I think it's not my favorite Harry Potter film, but it's good. And it's probably somewhere in my top three. I think for me, it's Deathly Hallows, then Goblet of Fire, and then Prisoner of Azkaban. But this was a really good film. I like Gary Oldman in it, and it's a good story.
Yeah, you know, the Harry Potter movies, I didn't realize that all the movies were mysteries, you know, were all magical mysteries. And I don't know. I thought they were well-made movies, but I've never rewatched a Harry Potter movie ever. I've always been one and done with each installment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of feel bad.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
At,
yeah. You can't.
Yeah. At number four, I have The Bourne Ultimatum, which, you know, those movies, you know, people kind of watch them and kind of, I guess, I don't know if they've forgotten about them, but, man, if you go back and watch The Bourne Ultimatum and the way the movie starts out and it ends up connecting itself to Part 2 in an incredible story-making way, and it's a very satisfying conclusion. Like, if they had only made those three Bourne films, you could have been done with them. We didn't need the Jeremy Renner one or the last one they did. But The Bourne Ultimatum is not just a good Part 3. It's one of the best action movies the last 10 to 15 years, too. Really, really good film. It might be a little surprise I put that on the list, but I just always remember that as being a really, really good fucking conclusion of that trilogy. And it's Matt Damon back when he was at the top of his game. You know, he was one of the top actors in the world at that time, and just a good film. Long, your number four.
My number four.
When I get done
is well, we're really distracting him. It's Matrix Revolutions, and I really like this movie. It ended on a sad note, but it had some really cool action sequences throughout, especially the siege of the last of Zion, the last human civilization or city.
That scene's pretty intense.
Pretty epic. But yeah, Matrix Revolutions. It's actually interchangeable with Return of the Jedi for me. So, oh, Mark's cringing again.
Over Jedi, man? Over Jedi? Anyway.
It's not over Jedi. It's interchangeable. You can put it at my number four if you want. So, I'm pretty flexible. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I have a Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors as number four. This was one of my, it's one of my favorite horror films. I think this is where Freddy is arguably at his best. And it was growing up. It was I'm gonna be honest. You know, I wasn't supposed to be watching it. I was like 10. It's my first pair of boobs, you know, really I ever saw. Maybe my second pair, but. I always remember that scene.
I mean,
you know, you're 10 years old.
Debbie Does Dallas Part 3 might have been one of my first movies, but I'm not going to put on it as a Part 3.
Well, that's you.
That was a porn joke. Matt lives by the boobs.
I had to have one that let you down.
Number three, I have Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I mean,
oh, I wish I had that
one. A great movie. That whole trilogy is fantastic. I love that movie so much. It's such a good movie. Watching Sean Connery in the film. What can you say about Indiana Jones that you can't be? You know, it's one of my favorite characters ever recreated. It's probably my second favorite saga movies next to Star Wars, of course. And I love The Last Crusade. It's hard to believe that movie's going to almost be 40 years old in about 7 years or so. But, yeah, Indiana Jones Last Crusade, man. You can't go wrong with Indiana Jones.
I love that scene where he's dealing with the tank, the World War One tank. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, I was trying to get...
And it's all practical effects, too.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to get a few more words out, but I'm not gonna lie, I was having a little bit of an indigestive moment at that when I was talking right there. But yeah, I love the action sequences of the film. You know, Spielberg crafted such a great series of three films, you know, and I'm not even going to knock Crystal Skull. It is what it is. But those three original films are just three of my favorite movies. Like I mentioned last week, there was a movie I mentioned that The Jungle Book, if I'm in a bad mood, I can just put that movie on and be happy. Indiana Jones is like that, man. If I'm in a bad mood, just watch Indiana Jones and I go to a happy place. So, but yeah, Last Crusade.
I'm actually looking forward to how James Mangold closes out the series.
Yeah. We'll see.
And I wonder how beautifully shot this last movie is going to be.
Yeah.
So, my number three is a more recent film. Well, not that recent, but it's going to be Captain America: Civil War. It's one of my favorite Captain America movies. Not as good as Winter Soldier, but still top-notch. Great story, great action. You know, the drama and the tension between Stark and Steve Rogers was pretty intense. And the airport battle scene, you know, makes the movie. But overall, I really like this movie.
The Star Wars reference.
Yeah. But that's my number three. What about you, Matt?
I have The Dark Knight Rises as number three.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's a good film. I think it ended that trilogy on a good note. I don't think it's as good as The Dark Knight, but it's still a really good film.
Yeah, I could have put that one on my list. I guess I missed that one. At number two, I have The Return of the King, Lord of the Rings. Obviously, one of the greatest conclusions to a trilogy ever. Won all the Oscars, of course. 3.5-hour epic, all kinds of battles in that movie, all kinds of storylines coming to conclusion. You know, next year we're going to cover The Lord of the Rings for the 20th anniversary of Fellowship of the Ring, but we're not going to spread them out. We're probably going to do all three of them next year. So we'll talk a lot about these movies in 2021 as it celebrates 20 years of being out in theaters. But The Return of the King is such a fantastic film. Huh? What are you saying, Lon?
20 years.
Yeah, already.
20 years.
I know. Already.
Oh my god.
Since it's been out. So we'll cover the Lord of the Rings trilogy next year on the podcast and talk a lot about it. But Return of the King, man, that's such a satisfying ending after dedicating 3 years to those movies back in the 2001, 2002, 2003 when they came out. Everybody waiting every Christmas for the next one to see what happened, and great stuff, man. That was a special time for being in the theaters and watching those movies unfold before our eyes. So.
Yeah, and that's actually my number two as well, Return of the King. I totally agree with you. I know people often complain about the ending dragging on, but I thought that the ending to that movie was the right amount of time to close up 9 hours worth of story.
Yep.
And give it credit for winning an Oscar as well, as a bolt tie, you know. But yeah, definitely deserved all the renown and prestige it has since release.
Yeah.
But yeah. And it didn't need nudity to do it.
That's right.
Successful. Like Game of Thrones. What about you, Matt? What's your number two?
I also have Return of the King as number two. These movies, my dad does not like going to movie theaters and sitting unless it was these films. We made it a tradition to where we all went and saw these movies in theaters, and you know, he genuinely enjoyed it, and you know, I genuinely enjoyed it, and
I saw every one of them at least twice in theaters.
I saw the Two Towers twice.
Two Towers was awesome.
Yeah. I own the extended editions, the books.
Yeah.
So, you guys prefer the theatrical or the extended edition?
Extended.
Yeah.
Okay, here. I like the extended version of Fellowship in Return. I felt Two Towers was good enough. I felt the stuff that's added into Two Towers didn't really matter. You know, does that make sense?
It didn't help. Right.
Yeah. I felt Two Towers was the weakest of the extended editions, but yet I liked the regular version quite a bit. You know, and small nitpick. Yeah. But yeah, I like all the stuff
they added. Right, on to number one, drum roll.
Dude, at number one, I have... There's only one return, and it's of the Jedi, not the King, as Randall would say. And,
yes.
Oh. Return of the Jedi is going to be my number one part three movie, because I live and die Star Wars, and always will, always have, and I just can't put anything... There might be better movies in Return of the Jedi, but when we're doing a top three part threes... Ain't gonna be nothing better than Return of the Jedi for me, and that's just it. You know, I love Luke's green.
Well, I'm glad on the.
I love Luke's green lightsaber. I love the speeder bike scene. I love the battle at the end against Darth Vader. Return of the Jedi is the shiznit when it comes to part threes, and that's all I got to say about that.
Don't forget, you like Jabba the Hutt's tongue.
Hell yeah, Leia in a bikini. We talked about Margot Kidder being cooked out of her mind filming Superman 3 and 4. Carrie Fisher was probably on a lot of drugs also filming Return of the Jedi, but she's in a hot-looking bikini, and that's all that matters too.
That's right.
Well, my number one is going to be Avengers 3, The Infinity War. That is one of my all-time favorite part threes. And I know it's a part one of another story.
Well, see, that's my problem with the Marvel. That's the problem with the Marvel movies. They're more like parts of an overall saga instead of like really a third part of a trilogy. You know, but
But Infinity War, they had so many story threads, and they somehow have it all coherent, tied together. Like, and it's just amazing filmmaking, amazing special effects, amazing characters. I don't know if I would enjoy Infinity War as much if I didn't watch anything previous, but thankfully I've been one of those faithful who have watched all of the Marvel movies when they came out in theaters, except for Incredible Hulk. That's the one Marvel film I didn't watch in theaters. But Infinity War is my number one part three movie with a part three in it. What about you, Matt? What's your number one?
My number one is also Return of the Jedi.
Ah, traitor.
See, Matt knows what's up. I now forgive Matt for his first two picks on his list that kind of sucked. I forgive him now. your Nightmare on Elm Street pick or whatever the other one was.
That was Harry Potter, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, I thought that was... See, Matt knows what's up. Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Two out of three longs. You lose, man.
Honorable mention, Army of Darkness.
What? No love for RoboCop 3?
You guys should have went. No Rambo 3?
Rambo 3, 3, RoboCop 3. I mean, you know, come on now.
Men in Black 3. Ugh. Godfather 3. Beyond Thunderdome.
Hey,
would you have been happy by
pretty good,
Return
five times. Was that long?
What if I listened to Return 5 times?
No.
You been happy then, Mark?
No, I'm.
Irritated at me.
You good, man. I just, you know, I got to give you a hard time, you know, if I don't. Because, you know, I just think my list is the best. Yeah, that's all. Let's do some news. Long, man, you are the resident big Star Trek fan. Did you watch the trailer for Lower Decks? What is it called? Star Trek Lower Decks. Did you see the trailer for the cartoon? It's like Star Trek with like kind of adult humor, almost like Rick and Morty type humor. It's going to be on CBS All Access in October, or no, not October, in August. It looks pretty good, actually. It looks kind of funny. And it's about the red shirts that work in the lower decks of the ship and how they get involved in the different skirmishes that happen. So it could be fun, you know. And I figure as a Star Trek,
I'll check it.
Yeah, as a Star Trek fan, I'm sure you'll check it out. I kind of already knew this, but because of COVID-19, we were supposed to be only a few weeks away from the first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Well, obviously that's not going to happen. Disney is not saying when it's going to come out. As filming is just now fixing to start resume. So who knows when we'll get the first Marvel show on Disney Plus. Kind of a bummer, but you know.
Well, I'm already seeing some hate on this.
Yeah. Well, I have to, but I mean, they had to stop filming, unfortunately, and now we just have to wait and see. And maybe something will come out of it. We'll get something by the end of the year. Who knows? And I guess Disney doesn't want to release.
I was referring to the whole thing. Sorry, I should have been more specific.
Huh?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, in the Star Trek.
I was referring to that on the Star Trek lower text.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, Star Trek fans.
What were you talking about?
Star Trek fans are pretty hardcore. Falcon Winter Soldier. It's gonna be delayed.
Oh, right.
So, just like everything else this year. This is just a little side tidbit here. Scott Pilgrim versus the World has been out 10 years. A movie that we have on our list to do in August. It's actually been requested by fan of the show, Francisco. I know he's a big Scott Pilgrim fan. So I figured we would cover it for our 10th anniversary, not next week, but sometime in August. And if anyone's interested, you go to EW.com, Entertainment Weekly, on Monday, July 20th at 1 p.m. Eastern. The entire cast is going to get together for a virtual read of the script as a reunion. They were planning on releasing Scott Pilgrim in theaters as a 10th anniversary thing, and the cast was going to go to like Q&As and things like that. But obviously, that's all being canceled. So they're going to get together and do a table read on Monday, July 20th on EW.com, or a virtual read of the script. So kind of cool thing for fans of that movie. I mean, I count myself. I think Scott Pilgrim is a really fun movie. And I watched it actually pretty recently. And it holds up despite the cliches of being a millennial-type movie. It actually is still pretty good. I think it's – have y'all seen that?
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim.
Ramona.
It's a good movie. It actually holds up really well. So, cool.
I like Chris Evans in that film.
Matt, you like Chris Evans in any film. That's your man crush, okay? We know this.
I like the one where he's Johnny Blaze, and then whenever he says flame on, he has like the whipped cream banana hammock.
And we move on. Are you guys familiar with the character? I know Long probably is. Usagi Yojimbo, the Samurai Rabbit?
Yeah.
He is going to finally, after all these years, get his own animated series for Netflix. Deservedly so. He's been a very popular, cool character for years. Has appeared in Ninja Turtle comics. Has appeared in a couple episodes of the Ninja Turtle, one of the animated series they did. And so he's coming to Netflix sometime next year with his own animated series. And I was reading, man.
I've always been... character though, was he created by Eastman and Laird?
No, he was created by someone else, but I guess they were friends and they kind of played off of each other, if I remember right. And but there seems to be a lot of popularity behind this. Like people are really looking forward to this. So he's apparently quite the cult figure. So look for that on Netflix next year. I think it's kind of cool that Netflix, they got Transformers coming out here in a few weeks, and He-Man is coming out. It's Transformers is early next week, right? And then He-Man is coming out, next year. I give Netflix a lot of credit for digging into the past and bringing us some stuff to animated and give us things to watch. So, cool stuff. The Uncharted movie has started filming as Tom Holland released an image on his social media accounts. I'm still not sure about Tom Holland playing Nathan Drake. He seems a little young to me. But and Mark Wahlberg's playing Sully. We'll see. We know how video game movies are. You never know. But Uncharted's a very popular series. So, they delayed the filming of Spider-Man 3. I guess Tom Holland said in an interview that he hopes to start filming Spider-Man 3 as soon as they're done with Uncharted. So we'll see what happens. Amidst the COVID-19 world.
He doesn't miscast.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have been cast as Nathan Drake.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a younger Nathan Drake. I mean, even a younger Nathan Drake. I like Tom Holland. Nothing against him, but he just doesn't fit the part for me. And
they should have went with someone like Scott Wood.
Yeah, and then and Mark Wahlberg does not pick. I don't picture Sully as Mark Wahlberg at all. You know, it's, he's more like rough and gruff, a little bit older. So I don't know. We'll see how it comes together. Huh? What?
It would be funny if it was Robert Downey Jr.
Actually, Downey Jr. could play Sully. You know, I actually could see that. You know, but yeah, so we'll see. I hope it's good because I do like the series of games, and I'm gonna hold judgment till I see how it comes together. Lastly, this week we got announced a new Star Wars animated series is coming to Disney Plus next year. If you saw the last season of the Clone Wars,
before you get into that, I wanted to say this to guess the name of Spider-Man 3.
Oh,
Spider-Man Homeless.
The Return Home.
So the first title was Spider-Man Homecoming, and then the second one was Far From Home, and then the third one was Homeless.
Homeless. So,
and about the new show.
We're getting a new Star Wars animated series on Disney Plus in 2021 called The Bad Batch. And The Bad Batch is a group of clone troopers that were introduced in the last season of Clone Wars on Disney Plus. They're kind of Ahsoka Tano's handpicked group of troopers that work with her. It's going to be produced by Dave Filoni. And of course, he works a lot of magic with Star Wars animated series. So this is kind of cool, man. I think it'll be a cool thing. Give me all the Star Wars, you know. I'm down for it. Clone Wars has been really good. Rebels has been really good. So,
yeah. Are you familiar with the Bad Batch? The canon on that?
I mean, from what I know from what the last season I watched, yeah. I don't know if this is going to take place after the Clone Wars or what. So, yeah, I don't think they – I think they it said is. More information's coming soon, yeah. So, but
– Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think it is said after the Clone Wars, though.
Right. It would make sense the way the series ended to have it take place afterwards, so, you know. So that's cool. It wasn't what I expected because we all kind of knew that Filoni and crew were working on a new animated series kind of in secret. Filoni shot down rumors that there was going to be a Rebel season 5, but he did say they were working on something. But I don't think I ever expected it to be another Clone Wars series. You know, I didn't know what I thought it would be, but so you know. But hey, it's all good. It's more Star Wars. So let's preview next week's film before we get out of here. We're going to go back to 1981 and. This movie kind of is funny. Someone mentioned I was talking to somebody at work about special effects, and someone brought up Ray Harryhausen, and I realized like, man, we haven't done a Ray Harryhausen film yet on the show. And I'm clicking through Netflix, and I'm like, man, the original Clash of Titans on Netflix. Let's take advantage of this while it's on Netflix and cover one of the masters of special effects, and talk the original 1981 Clash of Titans.
Provide him with suitable weapons. Weapons of divine temper. A helmet, a shield, a sword.
Find and fulfill your destiny.
The myth. The magic. The mystery. The majesty.
Destroy Argos!
Let loose the last of the Titans.
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Clash of the Titans. The good, the evil, the danger, the daring.
How may a mortal man face and defeat the Kraken?
Clash of the Titans. The combat, the courage, the splendor. The spectacle. Clash of the Titans. Starring Harry Hamlin as Perseus, Judy Bowker as Andromeda, Burgess Meredith, Maggie Smith, Ursula Andress, Claire Bloom, Sean Phillips, Flora Robeson, and Laurence Olivier as Zeus. Before history, beyond imagination, Clash of the Titans.
I know, Long, you've seen this movie. Matt, have you seen the original Clash of Titans?
Yeah, I watched it with my dad.
So you
I
have to
remember the yeah, the Medusa scene.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
It's definitely one of those movies that doesn't always get talked about, but most people our age have seen it. It influenced us in some ways, along with Star Wars and other things we watched. I remember the same thing. I think my dad took me to see Clash of Titans in theaters, and remember just being blown away by all the monsters as a kid, and the spectacular special effects done by the great Ray Harryhausen. So I think it's going to be fun to talk about, look back on a film that was one of the last of the great stop-motion animation films that were done, you know, in 1981, before things started moving forward with more model work and CGI and things like that. And, you know, you a fan of Clash Alone?
Yes, it was definitely one of the first fantasy movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that stuck out with me was the owl.
Yes.
That stop motion
yes.
owl.
Which,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's not always out there streaming. So that's why I said, let's do this movie while it's easy to watch on Netflix. And so that should be fun on next week's show as we talk Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
And but until next time, go to RoadRodeoPodcast.com as always. And, you know, like I said, new store up, join our Patreon. We appreciate all your support as always. And we thank you very much for listening throughout the troublesome 2020 that many people have had. And we hope we can entertain you in some way. Cause that's what we're here to do. And yeah. That's all I got, though. So until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
It's long, the Kryptonian.
The Kryptonian. And
Neil before law.
Neil before law. All right. Well, until next time, as always, thanks for listening. This has been the Rebel Radio Podcast. Remember, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.
Do it.
Do it.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.